Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 50 of the Self-Help Podcast with myself, Edward Lamb, and my pal Sean Orford. Hi, Sean.
I'm very good, Edward. How are you? You didn't ask me.
I didn't ask you how you were. I'm not interested one little bit
how you are. You mean you're just not being kind to me?
Yeah. A little hint for you there from Sean there. We're talking about kindness this week. We're running out of things to talk about, aren't we?
Yeah. Go. What are we going to talk about after a year?
We need help. We need ideas. If you have any ideas and you would like us to talk about
what
anything
are we going
in particular,
to do after a year,
drop us an email. Yeah, I know. Well, we've got episode 52, our anniversary. I've got that one in mind. I know what we're going to be talking about then.
Yeah.
But on a serious note, yeah, we love getting our feedback from audience listeners, don't we? And ideas for upcoming shows.
I'm always interested in people's input.
Yeah.
Get lots of emails from people all over the place. And lots of positive stuff, which I'm really grateful for, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good opportunity to talk about the things in depth on a personal level.
Yeah, it's nice listening to our audience, isn't it? And hearing from people and being kind, isn't it, Sean?
It's very, very good.
We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but one thing you may or may not know is that Sean is now writing weekly blog posts.
Yep.
Once again, we've been so focused on the podcast in the last, well, nearly a year now. We had let the blog post slip a little bit, hadn't we? But you're back.
Yeah, they're coming back. So there is a kindness blog post going up.
Yeah, so each week we do a blog post and a podcast which are related to each other. So head over to the website liveinthepresent.co.uk for some more musings from Sean.
Yeah, it's interesting if you're a reader or a listener.
Yeah.
Some people work differently.
Yeah, there you go. We got it. Best of both worlds now.
Yep.
How's your week been?
It's good. I'm on my recovery phase from all the running stuff, and I'm on the last bit of my detox, so I'm on a fluid week this
week. Yeah, I heard about this.
So I'm drinking loads and peeing loads, but I should be on fluids now till Friday.
So a week's worth of just fluids?
Yeah. That's. It sounds strange when you've never done it before, but when you're used to it, it's fine. It's okay.
Nothing you do surprises me, Sean.
It's good because it's the last bit of kind of flushing your system right out.
Uh-huh.
And over the time I've been doing the detox, I've got up to running 10K. I've lost the 1.5 stone of ugly fat that was hanging on my body and rebooted the system. So at the end of this week, I'll start getting back into normal stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe go to Gusto's and have a nice meal. And have some wine, you know. That kind of
you
stuff.
Dive straight back into all that stuff, or you just
Just come back easy.
Yeah.
You know? Things like pasta is fairly soft on your system. It's not like hitting it hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like an easy way. Pastas and rices come back in, you know. But I'll come back on a bit of fruit and veg and make my way back in easy. But
yeah.
And it's been great. I really enjoy it. Every spring and autumn, I do a short detox. Every few years, a long detox.
Mm-hmm.
But it reboots your system right up. And everybody says, "Well, you're looking well. Have you been on holiday?" Is what they say.
Well, you've got a nice bit of colour in your cheek. That's one of the. Well, obviously the weather's picking up now.
Yeah. Well, out running in the sun. It's sunny early in the morning, so that's good.
Mm. I've been biking quite a bit to and from where I've been working recently, and
it's
like 3 or 4 miles, 5.5 miles actually.
Yeah.
But just being in the sun in the morning and the afternoon just makes a big difference to my sun and me already.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
It's good.
I've had a good week too. I've actually mini celebration. I've just calculated it's been 6 years since my last regular paycheck, since I had a job.
Yeah.
This month or last week. Six years, man, since I went self-employed.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
Bit of a roller coaster, but yeah, it's. Don't regret it at all.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Good place to be, yeah.
Do my own thing in that.
But
recently I've started working with another business, kind of related, and I've been spending 2 days a week in their office. It's nice working with people, actually. I guess I've missed that a little bit. So I've got the best of both worlds now.
I guess my world's people intensive.
Yeah.
So that to have space away. Is good. It's hard to get time away at the moment. Ray and I have to kind of actually physically go somewhere else to get a bit of space. So not this weekend after. We're going to go off down to the West Country and just kind of get away from it for a bit. You know?
Yeah.
And that's good. Be a good space.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. So all good all around. Let's dive into this week's topic, Sean. We're talking about kindness. As I say, there's a blog post up on this at livingthepresent.co.uk. If you want to pause it and have a read of that. But there's no point. We're going to talk about those things now.
Yeah.
This topic was triggered by a video I saw on YouTube, which struck quite a chord with me. I'm going to kind of show blatant disregard for copyright laws and infringements now, and I'm going to play the audio from that video right now because I think you will enjoy it.
I'd say, as a goal in life, you could do worse than try to be kinder. In seventh grade, this new kid joined our class. In the interest of confidentiality, her name will be Ellen. Ellen was small, shy. She wore these blue cat's eye glasses that at the time only old ladies wore. When nervous, which was pretty much always, she had a habit of taking a strand of hair into her mouth and chewing on it. So she came to our school and our neighborhood and was mostly ignored, occasionally teased, "Your hair tastes good," that sort of thing. I could see this hurt her. I still remember the way she'd look after such an insult, eyes cast down, a little gut kicked, as if having just been reminded of her place in things, she was trying as much as possible to disappear. After a while, she'd drift away, hair strands still in her mouth. Sometimes I'd see her hanging around alone in her front yard as if afraid to leave it. And then she moved. That was it. One day she was there, next day she wasn't. End of story. Now, why do I regret that? Why, 42 years later, am I still thinking about it? Relative to most of the other kids, I was actually pretty nice to her. I never said an unkind word to her. In fact, I sometimes even mildly defended her. But still, it bothers me. What I regret most in my life are failures of kindness. Those moments when another human being was there in front of me, suffering, and I responded sensibly, reservedly, mildly. Or to look at it from the other end of the telescope, who in your life do you remember most fondly, with the most undeniable feelings of warmth? Those who were kindest to you, I bet. But kindness, it turns out, is hard. It starts out all rainbows and puppy dogs and expands to include, well, everything.
I like that. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Two things it raises for me. One is the issue of, is it that he's identifying the need to stand up to something that effectively was bullying?
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And the second thing is he ends on that idea that this is a total global thing.
Mm.
That if everything is kind, everything's kind.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I should mention that was the video has been put together by a little group called Above Average. I'll put the YouTube link in the show notes. But it's by an adaptation of a commencement speech by a chap called George Saunders that he did in 2013, so not that long ago, and there's a book I'll mention later. But, man, that was powerful, that.
Yeah. So, kindness, then, what is it? He's talking about a particular person who was suffering.
Yeah.
And the kind act would have been to stop her suffering in some way. But what's kindness for you, Ed?
Well, you've got a few definitions that we're going to mention. I don't know. I'm not too bothered about defining it, I don't think. Just in simplest terms, just being good to yourself and other people, isn't it? I think we need to talk about that, about how important to be kind to yourself as well as other people.
Yeah, yeah.
But what there's a Google definition and there's a...
Well, Wikipedia definition is ethical characteristics, pleasant disposition and concern for others. It's known as a virtue and recognised as a value, as kindness. And Google definition is the quality of being friendly, generous and considerate. I guess the way that I would define it is by the word dharma, which is a Sanskrit word. And dharma means the nearest word you get in English for it is to be righteous or to do things in the right way, to do the right thing. So to act dharmically is important. So the word dharma comes from a root word, dri, which is about the quality that upholds all things and keeps them in balance and harmony.
Yeah.
And from my point of view, always my point of view, if we all looked after each other and we were all appropriate to each other, which I guess we'd say is kind, but if we were all dharmic and we did the right thing by each other, then the world would be okay. There would be no poverty, no unhappiness, no loneliness, no hunger.
Yep.
Because we would all look after each other. And we do have the capacity to do that as human beings, but we don't yet have the awareness to put it into practice.
I mean, the definitions that you've mentioned there, they're quite sterile and calculated, and there's nothing calculated about being kind. It's not something... I mean, you can... There's things in your life you can do to kind of kickstart kindness if you're not already doing it, but it's something that just...
Can you think of acts of kindness? Do there are things that come through in your mind? People that have been kind to you?
Blimey. Yeah. Well, I mean, I try and be kind on a daily basis, you know, in all areas of my life.
But what about people that did it to you?
To me?
Yeah, can you remember people that you think, wow, that was a really kind thing that person did for me?
Yeah, I mean, we get it on every other week at the networking, don't we? When we go in business.
Yeah.
People dishing out those little referral slips you pass around to give this guy a call, can you help him out? And that's kindness because they're showing that they trust you and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Little things like someone holding the door open for me.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
They stick with you, don't they? These little memories. And that's one of the things I mentioned in the video. This guy, something stuck with him for 42 years when he should have been kind but wasn't.
I have a memory which sticks in my mind. When I was 15, I left home. And I was working in the West End of London. And there was a guy working there, a guy called Tommy. And we were going off to do something in his kind of like youth clubby social thing. And one of his mates, he rode a bike, a scooter, in those days, like a mod scooter. But he was a learner, so I couldn't go on the back of his. But his friend, a guy called Steve, came along, and he was going to give me a lift. So I'm on the back of this scooter, and we're going through the back streets of London. And we went over a set of traffic lights just as they turned green, and a lorry jumped the lights, the red lights on the other side, and we hit it head on. And no helmets, didn't have to wear helmets in those days. And Steve, who was a big guy, went head first, first time I met him, went head first into the lorry and broke his neck. And I went into him, and he was a big guy. And I went into him so hard I had bruises all down me. And I obviously blanked out with the impact. And came round under this lorry with Steve's beside me twitching like mad with a broken neck and the bike screaming. And as I came out from under the lorry in a real shock state, there were masses of people. It was like rush hour. And there was this girl who stepped out of the crowd and came forward with her arms open. And I just kind of collapsed into her arms. And she took me, her and her friends, took me into a shop and laid me on the counter.
Wow.
And I always remember that. And I went back, when I came out of hospital, I went back to the shop where the girls were and took them some flowers and chocolates to thank them for what they'd done. But that always stuck in my mind, how out of this crowd of people, endless faces, this one person stepped forward with their arms open.
Mm.
And that's quite emotional now, because like... You know, well,
stick with you, eh?
Yeah, there was someone there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of all those people, one person stepped forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was the person who really affected me at the time. Good. Amazing.
That's cool. It's kind of, kindness is enshrined in most religions as well. Do you think it's something that's just naturally inbuilt into people, or is it something we learn?
Well, we were talking earlier on, and I remember the story. Might be able to find a link for it. I'm sure it was in Britain that someone accidentally dropped their baby in a gorilla enclosure.
Yeah.
They were holding it over the wall and they dropped it in and the baby hit the ground.
Oops.
And the female gorilla, the mother gorilla, came up to this crying baby and picked the baby up and nursed the baby, looked after it and calmed it down, amazingly, until the zookeeper came round to get it, and the mother gorilla gave the baby to the zookeeper. And I thought, wow, what amazing altruistic act of that primate who maybe could even have seen all these human beings gulping at her as a threat. But she didn't. She looked after this child.
Yeah.
And that's just such a profound statement for me. And one of the things that I wonder, which is what we started to talk about earlier, was that is kindness a natural female trait? Is it a natural male trait?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm never sure of that. You know, it's a bit like men start wars and women start peace movements.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is kindness more of a female?
I've never started a war. I want to put that on record.
have you stopped it?
Yeah. No, that's probably something worth investigating further. If anyone out there's got any thoughts on that, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, because kindness for me would be a natural act.
Yeah.
And I see myself as male, not female. But that idea of being dharmic, trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's in situations, whether they're personal situations or business situations or client situations, whatever it is trying to leave the situation having given something to it.
Yeah.
That the situation is better off for me having been there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would try to do.
Mm.
Yeah, to try and give more.
Yeah, I mean, the classic being kind in everyday life scenario is holding a door open for someone. It's quite a gentlemanly thing to do. You know, you hold the door open for the lady. Well, I hold it open for anyone who's behind me. I think it was on a Jeremy Vine show I was listening to randomly in the car fairly recently. And his shows are always about conflict, man, and trying to get people riled up.
Yeah.
And it worked again because he was talking about, I think it was a lady who was angry with a man for holding a door open because she was like, you're doing that just because I'm a lady. And obviously people were phoning and going, it's ridiculous. And maybe, I don't know how much of a, like the feminist movement that is, but
that happened to me. I was in a hospital in Wales and going down a corridor, and I held the door open for a woman who was a bit spiky haired and had bother boots on, and she said to me, "You effing chauvinist pig! I can open the door myself," is what she said.
See, that makes me angry, man.
I just thought, okay, fine, thanks.
Yeah,
and off I went. Crazy.
That's just insane.
I would have held the door open for whoever.
Yeah, exactly.
It was behind me. That's just what you do, isn't it?
It's the done thing, man.
It's helping other people to live their lives in an easier way.
Yeah. You know?
Why shut the door in someone's face? That's kind of crazy.
And, you know, as kids, we're all taught basic manners, aren't we? Like,
maybe we're not all taught basic. Maybe that's one of the problems.
Not all of us. Okay. Were you?
My mother was a real stickler.
Your famous upbringing.
Yeah, because I was predominantly with my mother. My mother would always make me walk on the outside when we walked down the road. If we came down the stairs on the bus, I always had to go first. That was to catch her in case she fell. That was the gentlemanly thing to do.
Yeah.
If a woman came into the room, we all had to stand up.
Mm-hmm. Take your hat off.
Didn't wear a hat, but yeah, that kind of stuff. A cat.
Do you hold hands with your left hand so you can draw your sword with your right hand?
Yeah.
That's one of the things.
Well, even now, I have to walk on the outside. I feel really uncomfortable walking on the inside. I have to walk on the car side. There's supposed to be lots of historical reasons for that, and one of the reasons predominantly was that in Elizabethan times, where they had houses that stuck out as each floor went out further, was that people would throw their slops out the window into the street because no sewers, and the woman would be undercover and the man would be out in the open.
Taking it for the lady.
That and wide brimmed hats to stop the slops getting away.
Yeah.
But manners in that sense are quite important, it would seem. But some people would say, no, that's kind of ritualistic nonsense. So why would you want to do any of that?
I was chatting to someone recently. I mean, we got Will, we're kind of drilling it into him, you know, thank you, please, please, and that slow progress. But we're getting there. Like, what'd you say, Will? He'll go, sorry? Like, please, he always gets it wrong. What'd you say, Will? Please, no, thank you.
Yes, can I have that? Sorry.
He's getting there. But I was chatting to someone recently who was, I think she'd been staying with a brother or a brother-in-law, and her nephews were there. And my friend of mine was so angry because the kids who weren't her kids weren't saying please and thank you for things, and it was getting really riled up. Whereas the parents was like doing nothing about it. Anyway, that's another thing. I think it's something inbuilt, isn't it?
I hope it is. I suspect that people in a normal sense are naturally, to some level, kind. There's somewhere they look after each other. You know, someone drops something, you go to pick it up, that kind of thing. British people are classics because they'll bump into a lamppost and apologise. You know, that kind of thing.
Do you, in your work, have to, like, teach people or coach people to be kind or more kind?
I think that in psychotherapy, that you get a situation where people don't understand the consequence of action.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm kind to you, the chances are that you're going to be kind to me, that there's a payoff in it. And for me to be kind, you could see as a selfish act because I'm doing something that I want back. Mm-hmm. But if we're all kind to each other, so that we're all giving kindness, then the world is a happier place to be in. And it's getting people to see the consequence of their action. They're trying to say something. I get it with managers. You get a manager who doesn't really understand about how to communicate kindly with their staff. You know, therefore, they come out of this cruel, hard, insensitive person.
Yeah.
And the consequences of that is that they lose the goodwill of the people that are working for them.
Yeah, we talked last week. We were talking about Dosh and money, weren't we? And I think at the end, we kind of, when we were talking about this week coming, we said kindness is a kind of currency.
Yeah.
You can, so, yeah, you know, you can be quite selfish in some ways and be kind to get something back. But if you're doing that and you're doing it for the right reasons, then everyone's going to benefit, aren't they?
Yeah. The whole thing about my run, and remember, everybody listening to this, that the page, what's it called?
Just giving
page, that's what it's called, is up there, still up there. Yeah, I'm up over 400 quid by the time I put it all up with the cash that people are giving me, which is nice.
Don't forget to pay it in.
Yeah, but it is the issue of people giving, isn't it? It's the giving, it's the kindness, the idea that if people put money into this, that money goes to supporting the psychological services that support people with cancer. You know, and charity is a way of showing kindness.
Sure.
Yeah, and charity isn't just giving money. Charity sometimes is giving time.
Yep.
Who runs the soup kitchens at Christmas? You know, who is it that's behind the counter in the charity shop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly in the NHS, there are a lot of people that volunteer their time. There's a lot of retired people that are there working for nothing.
Yep.
They may be doing, you know, a couple of days a week. And just giving of their time. And that's a charitable act of kindness to me.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I donated a bit to you, didn't I?
You did.
I was going to give you a bonus if you'd done under an hour.
Well, I blew that then.
Yeah, next time.
Yeah. When I do my half marathon, I'll come around rattling the tin.
Okay? So you put in your blog post, you put the kindness is in the same spectrum as love.
Yeah.
And I can see that. But how come there aren't as many songs written about kindness as there are about love and movies and stuff?
Well, most of the songs that are written about love usually aren't written about giving love. They're usually written the other way around, as possessive love. Mm. You know, or it's the issue of loss. You know, my baby left me. And it's that I am so unhappy and peed off by it all that I'm now going to tell you all about it. That's what most songs are about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you write happy songs, I'm feeling so good. Yeah, they tend to flop.
Well, Pharrell Williams wrote one recently and he's done all right out of it. I can't sing it because I can't sing and I don't know. Actually, I'm not that up with popular music, so I can't. Another chorus goes. But yeah, he
I thought you were going to sing it.
I'll put YouTube on again. But yeah, that was a bit of a global movement, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The clips that people were doing saying how happy they were. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's good, but that's a rarity. That is a real rarity.
Yeah.
And I think that we should all, you know, sing it. You know, I mean, one of the things that's really weird is if you walk down the road and you smile at people, the people that you smile at smile back. Yeah, they do it instinctively. It's a bit like if you smile in the mirror and you look at yourself smiling, it makes you feel good. Yeah? And just smiling at people, and it's the open eyes and the big mouth.
Yep.
Yeah? And you smile, they feel good. They smile at other people. And just the mere act of smiling could affect people's emotional worlds for the whole of the day.
It does. Actually, I had an incident of that yesterday. I was walking out of the office where I'm working and wandering up the road to go get the car. And there's a guy walking towards me, youngest chap, younger than me. And, this is where I made a bit of an error, maybe, of judgment. But I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to give this guy a smile. Because I tried to. But he didn't look the kind of guy that I'd get one back. I was getting closer. Before I smiled, he smiled, and he said, all right. It took me really by surprise, actually. And I was like, hey.
It's weird, though, isn't it? If you're walking in the country, you know, down a country lane or something, or up in the hills, and you pass people, you acknowledge each other, and there's that kind of hiya, how you doing, smiley stuff. Yet, if you're walking down the street in a town, you don't do that.
I know.
Why is that?
It's weird. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like we have permission to do it. I can remember being on underground trains as a kid going into London, And the deal was you'd be in intimate contact with other people's bodies. You'd be, your body would be thrust against theirs in the crush. But you never look in each other's eyes. Mm. You'd be staring at the adverts. So
well, everyone, the tubes, I mean, the underground up here in Merseyside is similar-ish, but the tube's the worst, man. You don't dare look anyone in the eye.
No.
Or they've all got iPods in and reading books or Kindles or whatever.
And yet you're in this intimate space with another person.
It's a bit of an unwritten rule, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think just
bizarre.
No contact.
Yeah. But how often would you say something to a complete stranger and actually make that contact with another human being?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you walking down the road and the guy did it to you, which is that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he said it kind of almost as if I knew him, actually, and I was kind of... That took me off guard a little bit. I don't think I did. Maybe I did. Maybe he's a podcast listener. Maybe that's Edward Lamb. That's that famous guy. Self-help podcast.
Yeah. Should have asked you your autograph.
Yeah. Well, I almost wanted to kind of turn around and just say, hello and have a little chat with him. I didn't. Maybe that's why people in London don't do it, because no one would ever get to work, because everyone would just be stopped chatting to each other all day.
But I it's always a joke with Ria and I, because if we're in a queue queuing up for something, by the time we get to the till, I know everybody in the queue, because I can't resist communicating with other people. And that's true if I'm on a bus or a train, anywhere, that there are other people around. Why stand there in isolation when there are people around to enjoy contact, talk to?
You must get the bit of resistance, though. Some people aren't up for a chat.
Yeah, you get the odd person who looks at you like you're bonkers. But most people want to connect. It's the human drive to be a part of something.
Yeah.
You were talking about a guy when you were in the States.
Yeah, no, it's funny the things you remember from big holidays and stuff, you know, when you go away. We went to California for our honeymoon 4 years ago. Amazing time, had a few weeks over there. It's a super cool part of the world. If anyone out there wants to invite me over and stay with them, it's in San Francisco, get me over there, I'll be there in a flash. Of all the cool and amazing things we did, you know, Universal Studios and all that, all those touristy stuff, the things that stuck with me were like, well, one thing in particular was just a random little chat with some Californian who was on his holidays as well in Big Sur, this place we stayed at, Tree Bones Resort. Look it up, man, it's an amazing place. Looking out to the Pacific, and just had a quiet little chat just for maybe a minute or two, and that's almost one of the top memories from that holiday, you know. Just having a nice little chat with a stranger.
A real connection with another person.
And there was no kind of like, oh, here's my email address, let's keep in touch. Didn't need to do all that stuff. It was just like, we're going to have a nice chat, we're going to go our separate ways and feel good. There's more instances of that from the trip. But yeah, it's not the big things. It's not the Universal Studios tour and all that lark and standing outside Jim Carrey's house and all that that I remember. It's the little connections with people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had all kinds of experiences like that. When I was travelling, we were in a it was an old army truck, really, and we parked up outside a village for the night. And a guy came out from the village to check out who we were, not in a kind of a negative way, but kind of like, oh, hiya, you know, because we were middle of nowhere. So for him, it was like, you know, weird people coming. And invited us into his house for food. Mm-hmm. And we went in, his wife and the kids were there, and they cooked a really lovely meal of fish and stuff, and we had a really fabulous meal and made this contact with these people. The guy didn't have to do that. He was just a man that was kind and interested and wanted to connect with other people. He didn't see us as enemies or threats. He saw us as friends.
You know? Yeah, that's cool. I think I've mentioned it before, that Ewan McGregor and Charlie, what's his phrase, his pal, when they went biking around the world.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, their main lesson from it, apart from the fact that bikes break quite a lot on rugged terrain, was that people, 99.99% of people all around the world are awesome, like, and they're just so helpful.
Yeah.
Even in countries where you might think there might be a bit of resentment, or you'd have to kind of keep a low profile.
Yeah.
People were awesome, you know, feeding them and keeping them happy and making sure they could have petrol and spare bits and fixing their bikes and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love stories like that.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like in any community, the amount of people who are the wrongdoers is very, very small. they may have a big impact, and it feels like they're big. You know, one burglar can burgle one house a night, every night, and appear like there's lots of burglars going on, but it's one person. Yeah, and the amount of people in any community that are the problem are very small. Most people are nice people.
Yeah, we've talked about it, about the whole thing about, I don't know if it's a myth or not, but I don't think it is actually. Kids growing up now have less freedom.
Yeah,
movement,
yeah, no, they
in terms
do.
Of going out on the bikes.
That's
and,
true. Yeah,
you know, it's been proven actually, so it's not a myth. It's an issue, isn't it? Because
What are we scared of?
Yeah, what are we scared of?
I think what we're scared of is the media. Yeah. It's like because the media makes everything immediate, that we start to feel that the world isn't safe because we keep hearing these stories. And when we keep getting all these things about these celebrities who have this kind of odd sexual paedophile kind of activities, and they keep coming up one after another, and they've always been like the nice guy, like the Rolf Harris kind of characters.
Yeah,
you know, we end up in a situation where people are feeling, you know, if he can do it, then everybody can do it.
Yeah.
So now the world becomes unsafe. But like the idea of priests, you know, you have a few priests that become rogue, and then every priest ever after gets a bad name. So like the whole kind of Roman Catholic thing starts to break down.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, yeah, and obviously I've got Will's going to be at the age in a few, 2-3 years where I'll want him to actually go out there and muck around, and but will I have the confidence or the courage to let him do it, man? I don't know.
When we were kids, it was a case of like latchkey situation, in the sense of it was on a council estate, and the kids would go off and play.
Yeah.
And you'd be off all day. You know, maybe you take some sandwiches with you, maybe you're going for lunch or whatever. But summer holidays, and you would be out from dawn till dusk, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And no one ever saw it as a problem. There were odd cases in my childhood. One kid drowned. And one kid was assaulted, but that was like one out of thousands and thousands of kids. I don't think that the world is an unsafe place. I think it is a safe place. I think the world is a kind place. It's us that fears it.
Yep.
You know, anxiety issues are on the up. But if you say to people, is Britain a safe place? Most people say, oh, no, it's terrible, it's going to the dogs, oh, dear. But actually, statistically, Britain is one of the safest places on the planet.
I think just a week or two ago, there was another report buried in all the main headlines, but it was like 7th or 8th on the BBC, you know, news for the day, because every day we have to have a whole new slot of news, don't we? But it was, the stats there were showing, I think, crime was down, violent crime was down like 20% in a year.
Yeah, huge.
And huge, man. Didn't get that much coverage.
No, but people in Britain will say, oh, no, you know, it's not as safe as it used to be. Oh, it's terrible.
Well,
but statistically, it is.
What's in the news at the moment, man? It's that the girls in Nigeria that have been pinched and, like, it's awful. But there's a lot.
But that is religious and political extremism.
Yeah.
And that isn't normal behaviour. And again, it's a few people. You know, it's a very small percentage of that population who's acting in this rogue way and affecting a large part of the population. Because one of the things, when we were talking about this idea of kindness, and maybe this is a relevant point to bring it in, is that sometimes the idea that you have to be cruel to be kind, like, what does that mean? And sometimes it means that when people are rogue like that, that you have to do something about it.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of times when that happens. If you do have violent people, people that are perpetual thieves or, you know, drug dealers, you know, murderers, people traffickers, all that kind of stuff, it is relatively few people, but the impact that they have is quite large. But as a society, we have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And is it kind to take someone out and to beat them with a stick to stop them doing bad things? And that idea that one man beats his child because he loves him and one man beats his child because he hates him, you know, the effects may be the same, the effects may be different. I don't know, maybe the motivations are different.
Yeah.
I know that certainly I've worked with lots of families where you get a child, usually the child, sometimes it might be a parent, but maybe they're drug addicts or whatever, and they have to be quite tough with that person. And that means that they don't give the person money because they end up feeding the problem and not the person. So it starts to develop more and more. And you have to be quite tough to make that stop, to make it make them change.
Yeah.
So, like, to be kind sometimes isn't just a happy, smiley, woo thing. Maybe it is you've got to be a bit tough.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it's just making sure that you're doing it right.
Sure.
Not creating a lot of negativity.
Mm. Cruel to be kind. Cruel to be kind. I like it. Random acts of kindness is actually a popular habit on Lyft app, which
right.
I'm a big fan of. It's kind of quite a popular phrase as well, like the random acts of kindness. I think a lot of people try and build it into their lives. Maybe more should. Kindness can become a habit, can't it?
You not? Yeah, but we know that if you repeat anything for 30 days, you've started to build a habit network in your brain.
Yeah.
So that to consciously think, okay, what am I going to do today, which is an act of kindness?
Mm.
If you go back to the track that you played earlier on, the guy's telling a story about a little girl who is treated badly in the school place, in the school yard, whatever. What is it that we can do to intervene with people that we know are being treated badly? Maybe they're being bullied in the workplace.
Yep.
You know, maybe you are at school and they're being bullied at school. And there are things that you can do to help other people.
Mm.
And you can change their lives. If someone is being isolated and marginalised, and you can stand up for them and you can help them so that they come in out of the cold and they become one of the group, you've just made a dynamic change in someone's life.
Huge change.
Yeah, so that idea, I mean, when I did the blog post, it starts off with however you would express your act of kindness, maybe it would be good if we could all spend the day being consciously kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just today, maybe, you know, maybe it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
But looking at the people around and thinking, okay, what can I do for you? And if everybody was thinking that, then we'd all get looked after.
Yep. And that would have a knock-on effect for some pretty big issues facing the world as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, really? Yeah. So kindness to me is fundamentally important. And that means not rejecting the people who have the problems. So I've said before on air that I tend to deal with the people in our society that other therapists won't touch because mm-hmm. they see them as being beyond the pale, you know, the murderers or whatever, the rapists. But to me... they are as much in need of help and probably more than anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And to reject them just creates more of a problem. And unless we're prepared to work with each other, and that means everybody, you know, then problems just get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working with those people, if you track it back, you know, they haven't just been that way for the fun of it. It's been an issue.
Yeah, either they have a genuine psychiatric disorder which needs to be attended to, or they have an emotional psychological disorder, which is the result of their experience.
Yeah.
And needs to be unpicked and sorted out. But unless when no one is prepared to sit down and do that, nothing changes. Yeah.
Who are you going to be kind to today then, Sean?
Me. I think that's where it starts. We all of us have to be, you know, if you're listening to this, think about yourself first of all. Who can you be kind to first? It needs to be you. Charity begins at home, because if you're kind to you, you feel good. That enables you now to be kind to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will see a whole load of people today, and all of those people, I will try and leave them in a better off situation than when I arrived. So I hope that what I do in that sense will be acts of kindness, dharma, that help them. And in doing that, they will help me too.
Yep.
Yeah, I will get stuff from it. So those are my acts of kindness for today.
That's cool.
What about you?
I've got a quiet day at home, actually, but I'll be doing a lot of emailing and phone calls and just be kind by trying to give the people I work for a bit more than they expect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So not just a website or a brochure or whatever, just try and take care of everything for them and look after them.
And can you be kind to you today as well?
Yeah, I'm sure I can. I'll have a nap after lunch.
Yeah, that's good. Being kind to me is having a siesta. That's cool. Because loads of evidence that it does make you feel better.
Yeah. I was semi-joking about my because I didn't get much. I was working late last night, up early for networking.
Yeah.
So I think... Because I've got to stay up late tonight to edit this darn podcast.
Yeah.
So I might have a little nap.
That's an act of kindness.
Yeah. It sure is. To our thousands of listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am supposed to be doing the Hour of Power tonight, which is the high impact exercise stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm on fluids, I'm not sure whether I can do it. I'm,
you might pass out.
Yeah. So my act of kindness to myself may be to not do it today.
Have a week off.
Yeah. Hmm. Start training again next week.
Back on it. Cool. Yeah. So you can do a half marathon later in the year?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, October. That's what I'm going for.
Cool.
Yeah, should do it. It's the timings. I can do the distance. It's the timings that I'm having problems with. I have to get my head around the idea about moving faster.
Well, you're not in races, are you? Unless you've got a time of mind in your head.
Yeah, that's
the... You're just racing against yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't kind to myself over the 10K race because I was expecting to do it in just under the hour. And in the end, because of my back going, it took an hour and 10 minutes. And I've kind... There's a part of me, although I can say, yeah, I did it, there's a part of me that's been kind of beating myself up, thinking, why did, you know, if I hadn't stopped, I would have... That kind of stuff.
You know. Just being more kind to yourself. But no, I'm
it's real stuff, isn't
I'm a numbers guy, and when I'm running it or biking it, and I want to do it in under a certain time, or I'm racing, I want to get a certain lap time.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. But are you kind to yourself when you don't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally, I think so.
Yeah, that's the trick, isn't
it? Yeah. If you've given it a good go, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
All right. Got a resource of the week, Sean?
It's the Kindness app.
There's an app for everything these days, isn't there?
Yeah, and this literally is the Kindness app. What it does is it's called Acts of Kindness, and you can press the button. So the first thing it says on here is you could make a new friend today. Okay, if I press the button, it says you could lend out DVDs to an elderly centre, you know, like a residential home. That's a good one. I hadn't heard of that. And that's the idea. You press the button and it comes up with something. You think, oh, yeah, I could do that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's a neat little app.
All right.
It's a bit American. So when it says you could donate to the American whatever, you need to just say you could donate to the country of your choice, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fill in the blank. Yeah, no, I like that. Okay, good, I'll do that. I'm going to mention a book by George Saunders, who he did the talk that we played earlier on, and he's got a book called Congratulations, by the way, Some Thoughts on Kindness. I don't actually know if the book came after or before the talk. I think it might came after because the talk kind of had a bit of a... went viral a little bit, and then he's like, oh, I've got to think more about this. I'm onto something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will put that in the show notes because, it's top-notch. Bit of writing.
That idea that all of us could be doing something kind today.
Yeah.
Consciously kind. What are you going to do? Yeah. So I should be aware of that all day as I come away from here.
Yeah.
And do my best to be kind.
Yeah. Bring it on. Me too. Yeah. Next week, what are we going to talk about, Sean?
We're working towards our anniversary, aren't we?
We are.
Our anniversary together. We've been together for a year.
Well, 2 weeks today, yeah. I want to talk about kind of growing old gracefully, and because we've reached a certain age, this podcast now, and I want to talk about what we're going to do going forward and how we're how people in general can grow old gracefully and enjoy the process of getting old rather than getting worried about it.
Yeah. Enjoying the moment of living.
Next week, I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll think of something.
Yeah.
It'll be engaging and wonderful.
Yeah, I think it needs to take us towards that point.
Yeah,
that idea of living and enjoying that older space. Yeah,
living in the present, whatever age you are, whatever day.
Yeah,
cool. All right,
think on that because I'll have to write a podcast,
a blog post. It's very confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's age.
Cool. Okay, in the meantime, visit the website liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links to things we've discussed, especially that little video I put on. You can get lots of other cool freebies as well if you put your email address into the various boxes on it, and we'll send you some cool goodies. Sean, have yourself a good little week.
I will.
And we will see you all next week.
Yep. We won't see you, but you'll hear us.
Yes, you will. Toodaloo. See ya.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.